So how many are ready for what the Lord has for us today? How many are ready to be edified, built up, encouraged, strengthened? Amen. Me too. Look, I'm ready. Holy Spirit, I'm ready. Oh, I just love that worship. I just really love worshiping Jesus and bringing His Spirit into the atmosphere of the room. You know that? We do that. We do that. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today. You know, we were talking about how God is our healer and that we get into the presence of God, that because of who He is, we are healed. Because in His presence, there are no deficiencies. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no crime. None of that is taking place in the very presence of God, in His throne room. It's just not happening. And so He is our provider. He is our healer. He is our life. He's everything we need. So coming into His presence, there's benefits. And He wants us to choose His way because He is everlasting life. So He says, choose this day, life or death. And He said, choose life. So choosing life is what we do. And as Christians, we live in life, everlasting life. But how many of you know, being a part of this world, the devil can sometimes blind our minds, distract us, get us caught up into things, and all of a sudden, we become part of this world's system without even realizing we've slipped from the throne room of God into this world's system. And then condemnation has opportunity to get in. A victim mentality has an open door to come in. And then we start being the ones who are responding to what's happening to us instead of the ones that are causing, by the Spirit, life all around us. So we're going to talk about that life all around us today. And we're going to talk about how to bring what is in the Spirit into this natural world. There's a very distinct and very simple way to do that, and it is a little bit elusive to some people. I can say these words, that anything you ask for, anything you need is in the Spirit. And you'll go, yes, it is. And I'll go, all you do is bring it from the Spirit into the natural. You go, yes, you do. And I say, how do you do that? And you go, pray, confess. And there's just this gap right there. So I'd like to fill in this little gap. Now, Pastor Trey and I went to Karis Bible College, and this is what Andrew Womack says. He says that you've got the Spirit, the soul, and the flesh. Most of our problems we have are in the flesh because that's our sense realm. That's our feeling realm. So sickness, disease, anxiety, those are all things of the flesh. So how do we get it from the Spirit to the flesh? And he says your soul is your mind, and it's kind of like a valve, like a hose valve, and you can turn it one way and let flow from what's in the Spirit through your soul into your flesh, or you can shut it down. And whatever in the Spirit can't even touch your soul to get into your flesh. So he says it's a law that whichever you agree with is what you're going to get more of. So if your soul, which is the regulator, the valve for the Spirit, if your soul and your spirit get in unity, then it'll dominate the flesh. But if your flesh and your soul get into unity and you start looking at things carnally according to this world, then the Spirit has no access. You're on your own, separated from God, solving your own problems in your own name by your own strength. Okay? And we talked about in James, and let's just go to James one more time, and we'll just start with that verse in James chapter 4. And let's look at this verse in James chapter 4, and we kind of hit on this a little bit last week. Starting in verse 7. Okay, so I'm just going to read it. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It kind of like has the sense that if I don't draw near to him, the chances are he's not going to draw near to me. I need to initiate this. Okay, and I can even verify this. And let me just read this and then I'll go on. And then it says, draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Okay, and then I referred to this in Psalms 24. Okay, we're going to start in Psalms 24, but don't go there just now. I want to explain a couple of things. So, remember how Pastor Trey taught on Psalms 23? And we had several weeks on that. And you remember in Psalms 23, chapter verse 5, where it says that he's going to make a table for us before our enemies. There's no enemies in heaven, are there? So this is talking about these things are manifesting on the earth for us. That's David telling us these things. He's showing us things of God to be brought forth in the earth for us. From the Spirit, from heaven, to our natural lives on the earth. Psalms 24 is the exact same thing. But a lot of people don't look at Psalms 24 as though it's true in this world. So if we just read in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and it says there that if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us, cleanse our hands, our sinners, right? And purify your minds, you double-minded. In other words, be single in your thoughts, okay? This double-mindedness is a huge problem in Christians on the earth today. It's a huge, huge problem in the church. So we're going to address it. And that is this, that we believe the Bible is true. We believe God exists. We believe that there's angels and devils. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. And we believe that God does things. But we operate from a power that is on the earth, from our own name, in our own strength. And we know, because we're looking at ourselves according to the flesh, where condemnation, guilt, and shame resides, that we don't deserve it. And therefore, we vacillate between God said he'll do it, oh, but I don't deserve it. God said he'd do it, oh, he might not do it for me. God said he'd do it, but I don't feel that way. God said he'd do it, but fear's still on me. God said he'd do it, but I'm not seeing any results. We go back and forth and back and forth. And that means you're double-minded and you're supposed to receive nothing, absolutely nothing from the Lord. You cannot bring it from the Spirit into this natural world if you do not have your mind made up that there is no other alternative than what I speak out of my mouth. We have to get matter-of-fact, single-minded, okay? So he said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, or purify your minds, get single-minded on it, okay? That comes straight out of Psalms 24. So we're going to look at this. And it's really important because Jesus and the apostles and who wrote the New Testament know Psalms 24 very well. And so when they spoke of these examples in the natural, the people they spoke to read the Psalms and understand these things. So some of his examples come straight out of references from the Old Testament, because everybody knew what they were talking about for the most part, okay? So, we're going to go to Psalms 24, and let's look at Psalms 24. You know, I'm going to share just a little tiny portion of my testimony. And that is this, and I'm only sharing it for a reference and an example, not to elevate myself in any way, shape, or form, because I Because the Bible says those who humble themselves before the Lord will be lifted up, not those who brag about what they've experienced. Okay? So I'm telling you this in all humility, is that when I went to heaven, it was the Lord that brought me up. I did not initiate it other than I did what I'm about to tell you guys, which I knocked at the door and kept knocking, kept asking, and kept seeking. And he promised, if I will keep at it, I absolutely will receive. But that's in a continuing tense, and we have to continue at it until the door is opened. And many, many people do not continue until the door is open. They'll take a spurt here, go away, come back. Take a spurt here, go away, come back. Take a spurt there, go away, and come back. Well, if I ran to your house, knocked one knock on your door, and ran away, would you come to the door and answer it? No, you wouldn't. And then I came 2 days later, but this time it was at 12 midnight, and I knocked one knock on your door and ran away. And then a month later, I came and I was going to really accomplish it. I'm going to make sure I get the door open this time. I knocked twice, bang, bang, and then I ran away. Would you open the door? No. What would I have to do? I would have to knock long enough for two things. One, that I got your attention. Two, that I got your attention in such a way that you chose to open the door to see who I am. Because I didn't text you or call you and tell you I'm coming over. So then you might open the door for me. God's no different, and I mean this in the most loving, compassionate way. It is not about him resisting us. It is about, if we're not serious about it, what's the point? Okay? So we're going to use some examples that are going to be really good. So anyway, when I was up in heaven and the Lord brought me up there, I asked him questions. He answered me. He told me some things, showed me some things. But he said something that caught me really off guard. And I said, Lord, you need to come back with me so that I and you can witness to people so that they can get saved. And what he said blew me out of the water. He said, I have come to man. Now man must come to me. Do you know a lot of people do not come to the Lord? Genuinely to him. People will talk in his direction. They will shout out, oh God, help me, because they're afraid, but they're actually not coming into the presence of the Lord. That's why I was so excited about Pastor Trey leading worship this morning, because it was, let's come into the presence of the Lord. Let's create an environment conducive for the Lord to want to visit with us in this environment, okay? Too many people take it for granted that God is like the ocean, this never-ending amount of holiness and glory and power, and that he's just ready to splash it down on us at the smallest inclination towards him. And they go without, because that's not how the kingdom of God operates. So I really want to help us today to see how to open the access to heaven, to be able to go in and out, to freely receive what he has for us from the Spirit into our soul, so it manifests in our body, okay? So let's look at Psalms 24. And we can just read the entire psalm. We're going to focus and emphasize on verse 7. And you'll see as we read it how it does parallels with James. So in verse 1, and I just want to read the heading of this psalm. I have a New King James Bible, and it says, "The glory, the King of glory and his kingdom." The King of glory and his kingdom. And it starts out, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." Verse 3, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place. This is what we want to do. Psalms 24, verse 3, we want to come before the Lord where he is and stand before him in his holy place. He said, I've come to man, now man must come to me. We need to go to where he is. How do we do that, though? He who has clean hands, verse 4, and a pure heart, just like in James, who has not lifted his soul up to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him. Who what? Who seek him. Who seek your face. Who seek to come face to face with God. I want to let you know, that's what I was trying to do when he brought me up before him, was to see him face to face. This is what I said. I said, Lord, if you're real, if you're the King of glory, if you're forever going to rule and reign, and all of us are your workmanship, and you provide for us, care for us, love us, and gave us everlasting life, then I want to meet you face to face. And I purposed in my heart to actually meet the Lord face to face, not get an answer to a prayer or a healing in my body or something else. I needed to talk to the real Lord Jesus Christ, face to face. Now, this says, who seek your face. Doesn't it? So, this means that we are to come to him where he is to see him face to face. Okay, this is a stretch for some people. I understand that this is a real stretch for some of you. But this is what it says in the Bible. And so many people are quick to quote Psalms 91 or Psalms 23, but this one seems a little bit too impossible to the average person. But it is just as impossible for any other verse in the Bible as for these ones. You have to believe by faith. So it says, verse 7. I love this. Let me go to 6 real quick. At the end of 6 in my Bible, it says Selah. Anybody know what a Selah is? It is not a woman's name. He's not talking to Selah. Yes, you guys are all kind of saying it. This is a pause moment. Don't go running ahead. Swallow this one. Eat this one, get this one. Really stop and think about this one. For us to go to his holy hill where he is, to see him face to face, we have to make sure we have clean hands, purified our hearts, and we're not coming in the name of an idol. In other words, just because you want a new truck, I say truck because I want a new truck, a truck or a house or something else where that thing is what's so important and that's why you're coming to God because that thing is so important rather than you're coming to him for him, to talk with him, to be with him. You're not coming for another reason. It's to be with him only. That one, think about that. Verse 7. Lift up your heads. This word lift, I love this word, so I share it every time I get to read it. You know what this word lift is? In the Hebrew, it's NASA. N-A-S-A. Isn't there a company called NASA? What does NASA on the Earth do?
Space.
Doesn't it have rockets? NASA, isn't it known for rockets? And what do these rockets do? They lift you up, don't they? They go from the earth into the heavens, don't they? They NASA. They lift you up. Okay? So this is what he says. Lift up your heads. What does it mean to lift up your head? Okay, here's not lifting up my head. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Do you see my head? I'm looking down here. I'm going, I don't know what to do. I've got my attention on the earth. And it's amazing how subconsciously people just do it. What do? They drop their heads. What does it mean when somebody drops their head? They're humiliated. They're in shame. They've lost hope. They're coming from a place of disappointment, being a victim. It's downcast. And you walk around with your head down going, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, where are you? I prayed and nothing happened. Lord, what am I going to do? That is not a head lifted up. But if you'll take your head and lift it up, all of a sudden there's a different posture that's physiologically, I just slaughtered that word, in us. But you guys know what I mean, right? It's happening in my body. When I lift my head up and I start coming from this place going, I have victory. I know that I can do this. There is a way. Maybe I don't see it just yet. Maybe I haven't got the results just yet. But God, your word is true and I believe it and I'm going to go for it regardless of what I see through my eyes, hear with my ears, or experience in my body. I believe you. There's an entirely different thing when you lift up your head. You are not going to do it with your head down. You're not going to go, God, I just rejoice in your presence. God, I just love you so much. I'm just so thankful for everything that you give me. It doesn't work that way. It works this way. Lift up your heads, he says in verse 7. Oh, you what? Lift up your head, oh, you gates. You're a gate. And be lifted up, you what? Everlasting doors. And what? The King of Glory shall what? He calls you a gate, an everlasting door. That means you are. Too many of us are waiting for God to push through into our lives, invade us, and give us our little things that we want because we don't want to exert the energy to focus, be committed, and hang out, standing still for the long run until he comes to the door and opens it. Where's the door? I'm the door. I'm the door. How many doors have handles? No, don't give me a number. Do the doors in your house only have handles on one side? Your gates, can you open your gates only from one side? No. Well, I take that back. Some people gates, they don't. They reach over the top of it and they unlatch it and then they open it. So in that one experience, that one case, let's put that aside. That's a rare thing. At least you can reach over the top, right? Let's just say it's built into a wall and you can't reach over the top. It's going to have a knob on both sides, right? That means you can open the door and the Lord can open the door. So many of us want the Lord to open the door and we don't. We haven't known that we can. And we haven't known how to, but we can. So, these doors that we are, let's read on. He doesn't say this once. Look in verse 8. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Lift up your heads, O you gates. He's telling you how to do this. We have to take a posture of coming intentionally into the presence of God for the purpose of seeing him face to face. Many of us quit way before that. We get a little, ooh, and we go, oh, that was the Lord, and we stop. All that ooh, ooh is you're hearing footsteps. He's coming to the door. He hasn't gotten to the door yet. He's just walking around in the house. And you get, ooh, 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 that's the Lord. And the door hasn't been opened yet. You just perceived he's coming your way. We got to go longer. Lift up your heads, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He's telling us to open it, and he will come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, remember when I told you guys that the Spirit of the Lord is how we're changed by the Spirit of the Lord. We have to come into the presence of the Lord to be changed. So we have to open ourselves up to his realm. Not be closed off to the kingdom of heaven, but be opened up to the kingdom of heaven. Go to Revelations with me. Chapter 3. Revelations is a good book, I would say, about this earth and heaven combination, right? Earth and heaven, earth and heaven, earth and heaven. Revelation is all about earth and heaven. Revelations chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3. Verse 20. Ready? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Where's the door? I'm the door. You're the door. The door is in you. The door is between the spirit and the soul. In you, you're the door. To him, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I cannot tell you how many Christians are perfectly happy praying and getting answers to their prayers, talking to Jesus through the door. They can hear his voice. What does it say? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, not just to anyone that hears my voice, and opens the door. Am I being clear on the and part? And opens the door. I will come into him and dine with him and him with me. That is a wonderful promise. That is a wonderful promise. Look at 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Plural. Are we in a church? He could be talking to us. That we not only need to hear his voice, and I want to let you know, many Christians hear the Lord's voice and do not open the door. They talk through the door. There is still a veil. There is still a chasm. There is still a not seeing him face to face going on with them. And yet, they can still get directions. They can still get comforted by hearing. They can still have a form of a relationship with the Lord. And he's not going to force himself. But he does say that he can open the door that no man can shut. When he does open that door from his side, none of us can shut it. He can have his way with us. When he pulled me up to heaven, he's the one that opened the door. I couldn't shut it. I couldn't get out of heaven. I couldn't get, when he put me in outer darkness and opened the door to outer darkness, put me in outer darkness, I could not get out of outer darkness. I was terrified. Outer darkness is for people who say they are Christians but are absolutely consumed with themselves. And the life of God is not dwelling in them. They're just so self-absorbed. So outer darkness is where there's no sound, there's no temperature, there's nothing to see, there's nothing to feel, there's no motion. It's the absence of all. So that you are completely alive, left with yourself and your own memories and thoughts. And the timeline of your life is crystal clear. You have no impedance whatsoever. Go back and forth on every second of your life. And remember everything about it, why you made the decisions you made, why you chose what you chose, what you did. Crystal clear you see your lives and you're absolutely alone. I was terrified. Terrified. And I just said, this is not right for anyone to have to be here. And that's what I experienced in that outer darkness. And that shook me enough to stop being so selfish and so consumed with me that I could start beginning to think about other people. Then I got to experience going to heaven and being with the Lord. Not because I'm special. Because I really pursued it with all my heart. Because I can open the door from my side, and so can you. And when we do that, the Lord comes in like a flood, he says. Like a flood, and that he will come and dine with us. And I desire that all of you experience what that is. And I want to show you some of the ways that these doors can be opened. Let's look at some other door scripture, shall we? Go to Matthew chapter 6. You know, the church in general is really suffering when it comes to the real power of God and the manifestations of the kingdom of God. And I believe, this is my opinion, this is not High Point Church's stance, nor Pastor Trey's, nor can I speak for anybody else on the earth, but it is my opinion that a majority of us don't really pursue wholeheartedly above everything else the Lord himself. But when we do, if we draw near to him, it may take you 30 days all day long with your face in the carpet or on the pillow to get there. It may take you a month of days of crying out and putting everything else down and really focusing in on, I need to see you. And he said, with clean hands, get everything in the way, out of the way. Lord, please forgive me for being neglectful. Please forgive me for letting my mind wander. Please forgive me for thinking of myself and not other people. Please forgive me for being so distracted by all these other things. Please forgive me for always being consumed with my own life. And anything that's in the way that can come up, you get it out of the way. You keep moving out of the way, out of the way, out of the way, everything out of the way until face-to-face occurs. Everything that blocks. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It says in verse 6, in Matthew chapter 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret or secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, I'm going to play with this verse a little bit. We can go into a physical room and close the door. And he could be very clearly talking about going into a physical room and closing the door. But I want to submit to you that there's a second room. And you close the door in a physical room for the purpose of entering the room that's inside of you, the spirit room, where when you focus and you close your eyes and you bow your head and you get on your knees and you clasp your hands, if that's your routine, all of that is to focus, going into your room. And once you get into your room in your heart, you shut your door to the outside world. You've stepped across in the threshold into the spiritual realm, into the kingdom of heaven's realm, and shut the door to the earthly realm. And your Father, who sees in secret, he can reward you openly. In other words, let me just play with you a little bit on this. When you go in there and your entire focus is in the spiritual realm, in the kingdom of heaven, in the invisible realm, which is very real, what you get in there from God, you can bring back to the natural world and live in it in this life here. So in other words, he who sees you there in secret will manifest openly in the natural world because you do that. You go in. Have you ever thought about whatsoever thing you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thing is loosed will be loosed? Where does that take place? In this room. You start operating spiritually in the kingdom of God. Start actually manifesting in there. And in that place is where access is given and where conversations take place and where revelation occurs. It happens in that place easier than anywhere else. You can get it everywhere else, but it's easier there. So when you go in, open your door, step inside, and close your door that's inside of you. I think that God has really blessed us beyond all of his creations. Everything he's created, angels, angelic creatures, the earth and all the glory that's on the earth, all the animals, and all the created beings that you and I don't even know exist yet. None of them are favored like us. We are the only ones he calls his offspring, his children, his sons. We're the only ones because he's given us access. Thank you, Lord. He's giving us access. Go with me in your Bibles to Luke 13. Starting in verse 22. Are you with me? And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved, who are sozoed? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. O you gates, you everlasting doors. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and taught in our streets. In other words, I went to church. I read my Bible. I hung out with other Christians. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not saying that's you people. I'm saying there is an emphasis on really getting serious about going through this door and this gate into the presence of God. Okay? I'm going to even go further. There's more than one door, by the way. In you. Okay, let's look at another verse. Go backwards in your Bible to chapter 11. Verse 5. We're focusing on you are the door. Let's look at these doors. Chapter 11, verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, remember, we can hear his voice through the door. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. If the door is shut, you cannot get what's inside to the outside. The door has to open. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Verse 8. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give to him as many as he needs. Knock. Keep on knocking. Look at verse 9. So I say to you, ask. And this is in the continuing present tense. Ask and keep on asking. Ask, 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 keep asking. In other words, keep the pressure on your ask. Keep applying the ask. Remember what I said? Some of you, it might take 30 days of honing in your mind, refocusing your attention, clearing your heart of all things to get to the place to where you can actually come to the place that the door can be opened. That this, you can really see him face to face. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Well, this guy asked, didn't he? He went, give me 3 loaves. And the guy said, go away, I'm in bed. He asked, didn't he? But what did he do? He kept on asking. Why? And this is not like God, but this is a man's point of view. Until the ask was recognized as bigger than the Lord's rest. The guy in the house was already in bed. The ask had to be bigger and more important than me staying comfortable in my bed. You have to get me out of my bed to go into my kitchen to get you what you want and give it to you. If you're not persistent enough to get me to that point, how can you get what you want? Ask and keep on asking. Ask and keep on. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. But if we look at this example, it's not just a casual ask, as I'm reiterating. It is a determined, purposeful, I'm going to get what I came here for. It's your determination and your commitment to the results that gets you the results. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from the father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who casually, one time, just kind of half-heartedly, lightly ask no. To you who purposefully ask, you will get it also. Okay, in the other Gospels, it doesn't even say the Holy Spirit. It's whatever you're coming before to get from him. You, everlasting doors, you, gates, lift up your heads. You get before the Lord. Be determined that you're going to do so. And you get there and get there and get there and get there and stay there and get there and stay there and get there and cast off everything, because it's a narrow, tight, constricted path to getting in. And you cast off everything and lay everything down, and all of it. The Bible says it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. I would like to use the human example that they called those doorways, those little tiny doorways, eyes, and they had to unload all the cargo of the camel to pass him through there, and then carry all the cargo through the door, load him back up, and take him to wherever they're going to go to sell their goods. Okay, I'm going to just use that simple example instead of the supernatural one of literally straining an animal through the true eye of a needle. Let's just do that in this example of laying down your cargo. Whatever it is you're carrying, remember, no idols, no deceptive heart, no double-mindedness. You're not taking anything in there with you. You get to the place to where you get your private audience with the Lord. And it is sorrowfully missing in the church, in my Robert's opinion. It is not the position of this church, nor of Pastor Trey. It's my perspective. Because I've done it, and I continue to press in to do it. So I know this Bible is telling me the truth, and I am not twisting the words that are in it for my own gain. I am letting you know that you have such greatness available to you in the kingdom of God, but we have to actually apply ourselves to having it manifest in our lives. We have to actually do it. And if we will, and again, I'm going to reiterate, it may take a month of being absolutely focused. It may take 10 minutes. So I want to take a minute and share with a couple of ways to go through the door, to have that open and to go through that door, okay? Some of these ways you understand really easily. One, worship. Worship opens the door of you. Worship opens the door of you. And what that does is, when you're truly worshiping the Lord, you let down your guard, you let down your desires and your wants, and you put your attention back on Him, and from the inside of you, you flow out to adorn the Lord. Your attention, your focus, your words, all of you, heart and mind, come together for the purpose of connecting with Him. You open a door to connect with who's ever on the other side. So you open the door to connect with your Heavenly Father and the Lord. And He loves it. He says He'll come in like a flood. And how many of you know that's true? How many have experienced the presence of the Lord in genuine, sincere worship? That should be happening in our congregation every Sunday morning. To where we as gates open ourselves up to the realm of the kingdom of God and of heaven and of the Lord Himself. That as a gate, as a doorway, I open up. You know that doorway means portal, actually? It actually means portal. So I am a portal of the kingdom of heaven to flow through me. And like a river of living water, it just pours out of me into this room. And the atmosphere of heaven fills the room because my door is open. I would submit to you that some people come to church and worship and never open their door to where that presence of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit of God, can flow through them into the atmosphere of the room. You unlock the presence of God in the world around you. So worship is one way. Praying in the heavenly language that you've been given is another way. Some people, when they pray in the Spirit, all of their earthly mind is unfruitful So they take their attention off of the thoughts of their mind, and they go into their inner room by praying in tongues. And in that place, the door is unlocked, and the realm of the Spirit of God is very present around them. And they are now engaged in spiritual activity through praying in their heavenly language. That's another door. Prayer. Focusing, cutting off the entire world, your family, your pets, your technology, your agenda, your schedule, your calendar, your attic, your garage, your dishes. You leave it all aside to go into your room, shut the door behind you, turning off this world, entering into the realm of the kingdom of God. You open your door that way also. There's others, but I'm just going to leave it at that for right now. I'll tell you one more. Love is a door. When you've cleansed your hearts, you're double-minded. It's amazing how it opens the door. When you get the garbage out that is inside of you, that stops you from really being your loving self. When you can get rid of the garbage, get it cleared out, get it forgiven, forgive others, release it, then that gateway of love brings you into the presence of God and manifests the love on this earth. Jesus, 5 times in the Gospels, healed because of the compassion that flowed through him. The love he had for other people. When that's clear, heaven can flow through you that way also. There's others. I don't have time for more. But I want you to know, it's not a casual 1 minute, 15 minutes, and you're done. It's not. It is a lifestyle. It is a commitment. It is an intentional act of living in the realm of the kingdom of God while you walk on the earth. And I'm sorry to say for myself and for many others that the political stuff, Facebook, YouTube, television, internet, all these things can distract and our focus, fragment my attention. So I'm multipurposing, is that what it's called? No, multitasking, without even realizing it, because my attention is in many different areas. At the same time, I'm trying to get an answer to prayer. And what we need to do is get our attention off of those things. I'll give you a little hint. Just get a notebook. Set it there with a pen or pencil. And when those things pop up, just write them on a notebook. I'll get to that later. That'll bring peace to your soul. So I'll write it on a notebook. I'll get to it later. So you can keep your focus. And press in, 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 and press in. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Since the time of John the Baptist, that's how we enter the kingdom, intentionally, with a full-hearted commitment. And if you will do that, you will start seeing such results and an inflow of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in your life that goes with you throughout the rest of your day. That's called dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Amen? I love you guys. Did you get something out of today? Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for everyone here that can hear my voice and those that are, Father, will hear it in the future. Father, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that this message, Father, reaches their inner ears, Lord. Their good and noble ground where they can accept it and keep it, guard it and hold that seed in to where it starts bringing forth the fruit in their life, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Father, I ask that people would take this seriously. And truly, more than ever before, come into unity with you, Father, having their door wide open to you, Lord. And I trust you for this, and I love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.